Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be back in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Do you remember when you walk into a friend's house when you were a kid, and it was like a whole nother world? They had different snacks than they did in your house. They watched different TV shows. They even had different rules. Your house didn't allow eating dinner in front of the TV, but theirs did. In your house, you tromped upstairs in your muddy shoes, but in their house, you took your shoes off at the door, and you walked around in your socks. Different houses have different rules. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul will remind Timothy about some of the rules in God's house. Some people had forgotten to take their shoes off. They'd started treating like it was their own house to muck up, and it was starting to stink. So let's join Paul and Timothy in verse 1, where Paul reminds Timothy what should actually be going on when people are in God's house. Verse 1, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So in other words, we should pray for all people because God desires all people to be saved. Remember in the previous chapter where Paul said that I was the chief of sinners, but through me Christ might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life? Well, Paul knew that God wanted to save more hard-to-reach characters like himself, and that was good news. In fact, that's what the word gospel means. It means the good news. God wants to save bad people. That's why it says all people. There are no exceptions. When Paul says all people, he means kings and people in authority too, even political leaders we may not like. So the first thing Paul says we need to do in God's house is pray. That's what God's family does. Now, prayer is not the work before the work. Prayer is the work, and there's plenty of work to do. Look at all the different words for prayer that Paul uses here. Petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. Did you know that Eskimos have 8 words for snow to describe all of its variety and intricacy and consistency? If you pray a lot like Paul, then you probably know prayer as much as Eskimos know snow. You might need 3, 4, 5 words to describe what you're doing like Paul does, because he wants the Ephesians to pray a lot. By the way, Paul knows that keeping them busy praying keeps them busy from bickering. Which is why in verse 8 he says, therefore I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Anger and disputing. Apparently, it's hard to pray and dispute at the same time. Moving on to verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. If you've ever wondered what God's main message to the world is, you just heard it. All mankind can come to God through Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Now, what does it mean for Jesus to give himself as a ransom? Well, if you've ever watched a heist movie, people are ransomed for money. You want them back? You gotta pay. And God paid. He paid by sending his son in exchange for us to get us back. Jesus was the swap. Instead of us getting what was coming to us, Christ took it instead, setting us free. And this wasn't just central to the faith. It was central to Paul's entire life. Verse 7, and for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. I was appointed, Paul says, a true and faithful teacher. Paul was trustworthy to do exactly what God wanted him to do. He was faithful to say what God wanted him to say. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case with everyone. The false teachers were telling lies about God. And maybe that's why Paul says, I'm telling the truth and I'm not lying. They were unfaithfully teaching a faithless message. A part of this message was that God had liberated them so much that they no longer had to remain in their marriages or get married, have babies, obey rulers, employers, or masters. They weren't just breaking the rules inside of God's house. They were also rebellious outside it too. And this is why Paul addresses the way that women dress in verse 9. I also want the women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Modestly, with decency, and propriety. If you've ever differed with someone on what's appropriate dress, you'll know how hard it is to get people to agree on what's modest, decent, or proper, especially in an Instagram world. But the things that Paul is describing here were what a woman would do when she put herself on the market as a prostitute, or simply to let men know she was available. Today, it would be like taking your wedding ring off. Paul is saying that women should dress themselves as appropriate for women professing to worship God. In other words, they shouldn't appear desperate or be advertising their wares, particularly when they're married. This liberated dress code came from the false teaching that marriage was something women need liberating from, that any kind of obligation was oppressive, whether to a husband or mothering a child. This bad teaching stated that women should rise up in their new liberty and dominate the men instead. And it's that very teaching that Paul turns to in verse 11. Now, I warn you, when you read this, it's actually going to strike you as a bit odd. Buckle your seatbelt and let's talk about it after. Verse 11, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and with propriety. You're probably thinking right now, wait, how is this even in my Bible? I mean, isn't the Bible super empowering to women? Isn't it in Galatians that I read that there's no male or female? Then why is this here? Women be silent, submissive, and learn? Maybe it's Paul. Maybe he's sexist and it's showing. But wait a second. Paul valued women in ministry. I mean, they're all over his ministry in the New Testament. In Acts 18:26, Priscilla actually taught Apollos. And women prophesied in 1 Corinthians 11:5 and Acts 21:9. Junia is named as respected and esteemed among the apostles, Romans 16:7. And a third of that chapter, Romans 16, by the way, actually mentions women as Paul's fellow workers. Surely we've got to be missing something. Well, keep in mind, we're only hearing one half of the conversation, and Paul is addressing false teaching. So it seems like we're missing some puzzle pieces that would help us piece together why Paul is saying what he's saying. And by the way, this is the only time Paul says something like this, and it surely is a reflection of an overemphasis of a false doctrine that Paul needs to bring back to center somehow. Maybe we need those extra puzzle pieces, or maybe even the table that the puzzle sits on, and that table may just be the culture of the day and the false teacher's actual doctrine. We're still trying to figure all that out. So in other words, to know what Paul is saying, we need to know exactly what was going on. But Timothy knows what Paul's talking about, even though we don't. And though we can't fully piece the puzzle together with so little information or context, it can't mean that women should just be silent and never teach, especially since women are seen teaching, prophesying, and evangelizing in Scripture. And by the way, this is only a 10-minute audio guide. But I did make a B-side where we'll unpack this a bit more. Here's why. Women, you're half the church. In fact, often more than half the church. You are important. And we want to make sure that this one verse being misinterpreted does not silence you. We know that Christianity raised women up. It liberated them from chauvinism. The gospel was a liberator, and nobody has the right to dominate anyone. That's why Paul said, I don't permit a woman to teach and have authority over a man. But I don't think he wanted men to have authority over women either. Nobody should be dominating anyone. If you want to go deeper into these verses, check out the B-side to find out more detail about what Paul is and is not saying in these verses. You might be more surprised that it's not quite what you thought. Until next time, I'm Peyton Jones, and it's been a pleasure to be your guide on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.